Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right, a lot going on in the city of St. Louis. As we've talked about already this morning, the potential for the state of Missouri to take control once again of the St. Louis Police Department, who is also about to give raises to certain officers here in the city. Of course, we got the Rams settlement money and the guy who's covering all of it because he is a Superman. It is Sean Malone.
I was more of a Batman fan.
Batman? Well, so you've got money. I'd like to borrow some.
But you can't fly.
Would you rather have all the money? I don't have money
and I have my parents, so I'm far from Batman.
Well, Superman doesn't have his either. None of them do.
True. Yeah. But he's got his adoptive parents, at least.
Yeah.
Or at least one of them.
Well, yeah, I think one
of them died. I
thought
Superman's dad was like Klingon or Krignan or something. What is his name?
Jor-El.
Jor-El. So, yes.
Anyway.
So, Sean Malone, we were talking about, as I mentioned, the possibility of Jefferson City taking control again of the police department. It's being discussed today. There are a couple of Senate bills that relate to this. So this against the backdrop of new raises coming in. What do we know right now about what's about to happen?
Yeah, so for the context with the raises, the city just announced that they're giving a 7% raise to officers and sergeants in the city of St. Louis. Starting salaries are going to go up a couple $1,000s from a little over 53 to just under 57, I think it is, working off the top of my head with those numbers there. What's interesting with those raises, and again, a caveat with those raises, they did reduce their budgeted force by about 120-something officers. They're far away from that number, so they're not laying officers off. They're not getting rid of any officers. They're just saying, okay, we're going to set the budget for fewer officers that we will now pay more money. That's kind of how they did this. But what's interesting with these raises is both the 2023 and the new round of raises, it is written in the contract that it is tied to local control. So if the state takes over the raise that was just announced yesterday at 7%, the raise in 2023, which was the largest in decades, goes away. So that's something that's interesting. Now, obviously, if the state takes control, I imagine that would be the first thing they would tackle is, okay, let's get these raises back on the books. I don't think that's something that they would say, all right, we got control of the St. Louis Police Department and just drop it and do nothing different.
Yeah, so this... The raises and that discussion, that was separate and ongoing regardless of the state takeover. This was not something that was supposed to be some kind of leverage.
There was already the 2023 raise that was a part of the leverage, I guess, if you will, that, you know, it's written in there outright that these raises go away if local control from St. Louis over the police department is removed. So I guess it's leverage. I mean, you can look at certainly the timing of this. Of this press conference was announced yesterday. It wasn't sent out with the mayor's, the night before they send out, you know, to all the press, letting you know where the mayor's going to be, if she'll have any availability during the day. That wasn't a part of that. So this is kind of announced in the last minute, this press conference announcing these raises. So you can maybe look at the timing of being, you know, if you want to be generous, convenient that the conversation of state control over the St. Louis City Police is coming up, and less than 24 hours before those conversations, a raise for officers is announced by, you know, the city, the union, the police department as well. So you can certainly look at that as convenient, but it certainly is a point of leverage at the end of the day that, listen, if you take away local control of the police department, the police are going to see a pay cut at the end of the day.
And I, like you said, the state would I shouldn't say they would do it definitely, but they would probably, have their own proposal for raising pay. But that could then set the whole process back.
Yeah, and I don't know the logistics with this. I know it's in Kansas City, there's that complicated court fight right now where, you know, the state voted to force the city of Kansas City I don't believe it was on the November ballot, but basically forced them to put X amount of their budget towards the police department, and, you know, should the whole state be able to vote to decide how much a municipality puts towards their budget towards a certain department, be it the police or anything else. So I think that's in a legal court fight right now. But so that's something that I'm with you. I imagine they would turn around and work to get
you don't know
raises
for sure,
back.
But, yeah,
but I don't know for sure that's in the cards of something they would do or be able to just easily do.
So right now, the mayor is in Jefferson City. Mayor mm-hmm. Tashara Jones is in Jefferson City for these discussions. What needs to happen? What needs to happen for the state to take over the police force?
It sounds like they just need to get together and get a bill passed, you know, both out of the Senate and the House. And if you look at what happened last session, it really seemed to be a lot of the infighting that prevented this from happening and potentially delayed it by a session, because it seemed like there was a consensus, enough of one, to pass that bill. But I believe, if I remember correctly, the Freedom Caucus was, you know, starting to fight about certain things, and they were slowing down progress and work being done in Jefferson City on legislation. Not just that one, but that was one of the bills that, you know, when the clock ran out, you know, that bill wasn't passed. It wasn't sitting on Governor Parson's desk. Now that Governor Kehoe is taking over, though, and Governor Kehoe has outright made this a point that he wants to see the state take over, I wonder if there's a more focused effort to get that legislation passed.
So if it passes, do we assume the city appeals, takes it to the Missouri Supreme Court? Or is that, does the city have that recourse?
I'm not sure. I imagine, you know, a lawsuit, I guess, would have to come first before then. So, you know, some sort of mechanism. And I'm sure that it wouldn't just be a surrender by the city of St. Right. Louis. I'm sure that a lawsuit would be filed in some capacity to try to block that. And then it would get tied up in the courts, you know, but, mm-hmm. you know, whether or not a judge decides to side with the city, or if they just say, listen, the state legislature passed this law, it is a law that's on the books. Judges are there to interpret the laws. If they interpret it as, sorry, the city, you know, takes over. And plus there's precedent with it happening in Kansas City as well, falling under state control. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the city could try to, you know, file a lawsuit to block that state takeover. But really, just looking at that, and again, I'm far from an attorney. There's a reason why I work in radio. But you look at that precedent, and that might make it a pretty easy case to side with the state.
The Senate Transportation, Infrastructure, and Public Safety Committee is to begin a hearing in a little bit less than 20 minutes in Jefferson City to talk about Senate Bills 52 and 44. So, of course, we'll keep you posted when we find out anything new. Sean Malone, let's now move. Why is it that we always have to use both of his names? Sean.
It feels like
it feels
you have
like it flows
to.
Or
like
something.
Al Gore. No one just says
Gore.
Yeah, or yeah, it's always Al
so,
Gore. Yeah, Sean Malone.
We have a compromise with the Rams settlement money. So what more do we know about it?
Well, we kind of, last time we talked about this, mentioned how we started to see it slowly heading this way, like we're getting towards this compromise. And, you know, it found a healthy middle ground between the two, where a lot of the infrastructure dollars are going to be focused on downtown, and North City and Southeast City are going to be prioritized over other parts of the city. And also a lot of the social programs are going to be remaining as well. So, for example, money is going to be set aside to subsidize childcare for city employees. And if that goes well, that could be expanded to the rest of the city. The Board of Aldermen will have the final say on whether or not it gets expanded. It can't be done without them voting to approve of it. So one department can't just decide to, yeah, you know, we're going to expand the citywide now. It, you know, there's a couple of layers to make sure that it can be done in the first place before the city tries to expand it to the rest of the city. Post-secondary education, subsidizing that for families of city employees as well. That's something else that remains. And so it seems like both sides got a lot of what they wanted, not everything that they wanted. But both sides seem to be
compromise.
Happy about
yeah.
this compromise. Yeah, a healthy yeah. compromise in government.
So things
have
work.
Ever thought?
Well.
When we would talk about the money that's going downtown, super important to note that the private sector, Greater St. Louis, is going to match any of that funding. Is it $73 million, $74 million
yes.
going downtown? They'll match that, which is awesome. But when we say things like okay, significant funding going to citywide infrastructure. Another $50 million spent on workforce investments. Is that as specific as we are right now? Like, do we know if that infrastructure is like the water pipes, you know, the main pipes? Do we know if workforce investments is 911 dispatchers?
There is $30-something million that is set aside specifically for water infrastructure, you know, the water lines and what have you. There's nothing set aside for 911 dispatchers or anything like that.
But it doesn't mean it's not under that umbrella.
Expanding the workforce does get, that's where some of the programs I mentioned that included subsidized childcare for city employees, okay, that falls under there. That's about $30 million set aside for that. There was another $10 that was set aside for post-secondary education opportunities. So those are, you know, those are the more, I guess, details of it. I haven't had a chance to review the full bill today, but there are some details that aren't fully worked out at this point, like how exactly the money is going to be dispersed. There was some talk initially about setting up a whole bunch of committees that are going to, and boards that are going to figure out how to disperse this money. And, you know, one consensus that Aldermanic President Megan Green said she heard is that, and this is something we've all seen play out, the city has a hard time filling what boards it does. You know, you look at the jail oversight board, they have a hard time finding people to sit on that. The civilian oversight board that does oversight for the police department, they've had trouble finding people to sit on that board. And now to create a bunch more boards that a bunch more people, because it was supposed to be public and private, you know, government officials and people in the private sector were going to be on these boards. Now you got to find a whole bunch more people to sit on these boards, take time out of their day. Then you got to find a date and time that works for everyone to meet together. I think that was a very unpopular opinion on both sides. So that's dead. The money is now going to go directly into the departments that already exist, and they're going to have to set their own parameters on how they're going to get dispersed. But again, those details have not been worked out at this point. They expect to get through that here in the committee meetings.
So several months ago, it may have been close to a year, there was a push from the city on their website that you could go if you were a city resident and you could give your input as to where you wanted the Rams settlement money to go. And it was something around 16,000 people who ended up filling out surveys, whether it was with the city or the Board of Aldermen, whatever it was, that gave their input, what they wanted to happen. Do we know how much of that they really considered when they ended up making the decisions they did on where the money will end up going?
They did quite a bit. You know, some of the top things that were in there were, you know, city infrastructure. That was one of the, you know, highest budget items. Water infrastructure, fixing the water lines, I think might have been number one. Really, the only big ticket item that was not included in any bill was raises for city employees, which finished third, if I remember correctly, in the survey. And the problem with that is, speaking with, you know, a couple different aldermen, city staff as well, it just wasn't reasonable for two specific reasons. Number one, a lot of city employees, they're union employees. So that meant negotiating with unions on these raises, and it's far more complicated than when it's non-union and you could just give a 2% raise across the board. Also, the other issue was, there was, even with the money that they've had, which now with interest has grown to $294 million. It was originally $250 million. There's not enough money to do enough raises for city employees that would make a difference over the long term. Like, it would have worked for a number of years, but after a certain point, that money would have dried up, and then you'd be sitting there with, okay, we used to pay people this much. Mm-hmm. We lost this pool of money with which we were pulling from to pay people that much. Do we raise taxes to keep paying people this much? Or do we skip a couple years worth of raises because we gave them early, if you will, with this money that we were pulling from? So it just wasn't a reasonable, something that the city couldn't pull off. And if they could have, would have been complicated and would not have lasted.
Sean Malone, the Intrepid, we appreciate it as always. Thank you for coming
the
in.
Intrepid.
The
You're
dude.
Welcome.
Seriously. He's everywhere.
He's on it.
He's actually in Jefferson City right now.
It's unbelievable.
It's amazing.
Thank you, Sean.
Sean Malone, KMOX reporter with us here, and keep us posted if anything happens. We know he will. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.